Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's message is our Old Testament reading from Isaiah the 42nd chapter. Today is the first Sunday after the Epiphany. Last week the Sunday school's children learned what Epiphany means. It means manifestation or revealing. It literally means to shine a light on. The season of Epiphany shines a light on Jesus as the divine Son of God. For centuries, the first Sunday after the Epiphany has been celebrated as the baptism of our Lord. Christ's baptism was his initiation into his earthly ministry, his public ministry. All four evangelists record the baptism of Jesus. What an extraordinary event it was. For on that day, the Holy Trinity is revealed to us. As the Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus, the Son of God, and God the Father announces from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That is the day in which God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Our Old Testament reading from Isaiah is called the First Servant Song of Isaiah. It looks forward to Epiphany. It looks forward to the baptism of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we hear what God the Father said on that day in our text. "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations." One of the key words then in our text is that word justice. It comes from the Hebrew word mishpat. And like many Hebrew words, it has a fairly broad range of meanings. The justice that the servant Isaiah will bring to the nations isn't some form of imperfect justice that we are familiar with as human beings, since there really is no just and righteous judge, since we're all sinners. The suffering servant, though, will usher in a time of perfect justice, a righteous order known as the kingdom of God. So it is that Christ came to bring justice to the nations. And what is this justice? But to overcome the frightening chaos of sin with God's righteous order and peace. In the beginning, God created. You're all familiar with the very first words of Genesis. God created light where there was darkness. God created life where there was nothing. And God created order from chaos. Creation reflected not only God's power and wisdom, it also reflected his divine goodness and order. But then came the fall into sin. In the fall, chaos was imposed on God's order. Darkness overshadowed the light, and death robbed the world of life. But with the promise of the Messiah, who would be known as the suffering servant in Isaiah, God would reimpose his righteous justice on the world. He would begin to set right what sin, death, and the devil had set wrong. Although Isaiah wrote in the 8th century before the Epiphany of our Lord, he writes as if it had already happened, that the Son of God had already come to restore God's order in a sinfully chaotic world. In fact, the target audience of the words of Isaiah is actually the Babylonian exiles. Those people, those Israelites, would be taken into exile some 200 years after Isaiah wrote these words. And the Israelites needed these words. They had lived lives of rebellion against God, and for that reason, God permitted the chaos and injustice of sin to ruin their lives. After the Babylonian army swept into Judea like a plague of locusts. When they left, the great city of Jerusalem lay in ruins. And the temple, the place of God's divine presence with his people, the temple was burned and demolished. Their Davidic king was blinded and in chains as he was hauled off to Babylon. And most of the rich and the powerful and the educated people of Jerusalem were taken off into exile. Their dismay, their lament was summarized with these words from Isaiah. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? If you've ever been divorced by a spouse or abandoned by a parent, you perhaps have echoed these words. If you've ever been so hurt, if you've ever been hurt so badly that you cannot dig down deep enough to find the words to express the pain, you've lived this nightmare. If you've ever fought horrifying demons from your past, you know the chaos in which the Israelites lived in Babylon. Overcome by violence and disorder, by pain and injustice, the exiles turned to the fleeting, the temporary, well, things that we call quick fixes. They even turned to alcohol to numb their pain. Isaiah quotes them, "Come, let me get wine, let us fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow will be like this day, great beyond measure." As they seek a substance to help them escape reality. We like order too. But because of sin in ourselves and sin in the world, we're often faced with the chaos that sin brings into our lives. Danger, disorder, pain, suffering, betrayal, broken promises, sickness, and death. To escape the pain and agony of sin, we often get sucked into what is shallow, what is superficial, what is a temporary escape from reality. Often that escape is found at the point of a needle or at the bottom of a bottle. Kids retreat into video games to escape the pain of their parents' divorce. Adults turn to gambling to try to solve their financial woes. Reminds me of a church treasurer in Iowa who owned an implement business and his business was failing. So what did he do? He embezzled his church's offering, gambling them on horses, hoping that he would win, pay off his business debts, and pay back the church. But as so often happens with quick fixes, he got further and further in debt until he was caught, tried, and sent to jail. And when someone hurts us, we often find comfort in seeking revenge. We try to get our pound of flesh. That is how we deal with a sinfully broken world. Into the chaos of our sinful lives came Isaiah's suffering servant, the Messiah, who the Lord says will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. Jesus, as God's servant, came not to judge or condemn or destroy bodies and souls already broken by sin. He came to seek and to save the lost. He came to show God's mercy in a world that does not know mercy. As John said in his gospel, the words of Jesus, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." You see, Jesus didn't come to be a new lawgiver. He didn't come to be a new Moses. He didn't come to burden you with more and more of God's demands. The Ten Commandments are sufficient for that. He came to rescue you from the chaos of sin. He came to show you God's mercy and love. God the Father gave the world Jesus as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. Almost immediately after he was baptized, Jesus began to do what Isaiah said he would do. He set himself and he was sent by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he fasted and prepared for his earthly ministry. While he was there, the devil attacked him. But there Jesus began his Father's work of making right what sin, death, and devil had made wrong. First of all, the sin bearer defeated the sin bringer. There he crushed the temptations of the devil and the devil's power to destroy. Then Jesus set about his 3-year earthly ministry where he continued to bring justice to the nations. God's justice. God's righteous order. He restored sight to the blind. He healed the sick and the lame. He released from prison those who were held captive in demonic possession. He gave life to the dead. He even rebuked the physical chaos of a simply broken world by the power of his word. And in so doing, Jesus brought peace. But more importantly, Jesus came to save us from the spiritual chaos of sin. To do so, though, he had to suffer and die. As the sin bearer, the servant of Isaiah, Jesus entered the chaos of a sinful world to save us from the chaos of a sinful world. There on the cross, Jesus suffered the worst chaos of all as he suffered pain and anguish, betrayal and death. Into death he gave to us his body and his blood to wash away the chaos of sin. Yet even in the midst of his great suffering, Jesus didn't take any shortcuts. He didn't run away and hide. He refused drugs to numb the pain. And even though he was betrayed by friends, wrongfully accused, and condemned to a horrible death, Jesus didn't seek revenge. Instead, he placed himself into God's hands, where he suffered quietly and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do." When we're faced with the chaos of sin, we all too often fail to do what is right in God's eyes. But the servant of Isaiah was true to his promise. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth. So as you can see, what God began at Christ's baptism, he finished on Mount Calvary. All that the Old Testament foretold was now complete. As Jesus said, "It is finished." What Jesus started in the desert, he finished on the cross as he crushed the head of Satan. As the blood that poured from his arteries paid the penalty for our sin and gave to God the righteous judgment that God desires and that we deserve for our sins. And now, through the blood of Jesus, God fills the world with his mercy. And as we continue to be attacked by sin, suffering the effects of sickness and death, and as the devil continues to tempt us in order to destroy us, we need God's mercy. We need God's forgiveness. Otherwise, we cannot stand. For although Christ has come, and although Christ has won the victory, his work is not complete. It won't be completed until the day when he returns. And he casts our great enemies of sin, death, and the devil into the lake of fire. Until then, it is true. We still suffer from sin and disorder in our lives and throughout the world. But God asks us to be patient, to patiently wait for the return of His Son. Because while we wait, God is sending His church out into the world, this world of chaos and sin, this world where people suffer in the darkness, to bring the light of Christ to them, to preach the gospel to them, so that God can fill His kingdom with His elect. And yet, during this time, we must remember that God's Son, our Savior, isn't dead. He has risen from the dead and now reigns over His church. And as our Lord and King, Jesus promises to protect and defend His church from evil. John proclaims in his first epistle, "We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him." That's God's promise to His people, to grant you spiritual safety in His church. The servant's final epiphany is yet to come. But from the time of his first epiphany, when he crushed the head of Satan, until his second epiphany, Christ promises to be with you, to defeat the chaos of your sinful lives. To the child facing the chaos of a broken home, He's there with the promise of peace. To the spouse who faces an uncertain future, He's there with the promise of hope. To the Christian who time and again battles the weaknesses of a sinful flesh only to succumb to the devil's temptation, Jesus is there with the promise of forgiveness and grace and mercy and restoration. And to any person who's felt the sting of death, the power of the law, or the torment of sin, Jesus is here to give you His love, His peace, and hope. He's here now to give you justice in an unjust and sinful world. And what is that justice but the righteousness of God? Not the righteousness that you give God, but the righteousness that God gives you through faith in Jesus Christ. A righteousness that makes you part of God's family in baptism. A righteousness that forgives your sins. A righteousness that gives you hope for eternal life. During this season of Epiphany, watch carefully as Jesus imposes God's order on a dark and disordered world. He does so through His preaching, through the promises and hope of the gospel. He does so through the forgiveness of sins. He does so through His miracles, raising the dead, healing the sick, casting out demons. In Christ, God begins His work of restoring divine order in anticipation of when Jesus will return and give to His people, to those who put their trust in Him, to those who believe in Him as Lord and Savior, to give to His people a new heavens and a new earth. Well, there will be God's divine, perfect order forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.